Well, most of my ministry of being a disciple of Christ is based on Camp Maranatha. I was basically an apprentice to Dr. Lasilius, Dr. Dickerson, David Morris, even to my counterparts, Dan Dahlgren and others. We were all young, came here. I have your pictures. I don't know if you have mine, but I have yours. And so I'm committed to Camp Maranatha. They asked me, I was just recently asked, why do I come to Camp Maranatha? And it was a serious question. I'm not going to say who asked that, but I was asked. And it's a matter of commitment. If you're not committed to be a disciple of Christ, you won't amount to anything for anything. And so I'm committed to Camp Maranatha. I always will be. It's a part of my walk with Christ. I'm comfortable here. I love to be here. I want to see your faces. I want to be a part of Camp Maranatha. I want to be challenged to support other ministries and to do the best I can with that. I want to be faithful to my local church by being a disciple of Christ. I have that obligation, don't I? But you know what? It's not religion. It's a matter of faith. Paul said to the Corinthians, I see your stand of faith. You see, you can't truly be a disciple of Christ unless you're saved, spiritually born again, but then the matter of faith that you're standing is important to be follow through to be the disciple of Christ, to even allow him to teach you. And this place has been a precious place to me to be taught. I'm always learning. I'm always being taught. I'm not a very good learner. I'm not very fast. I'm not very keen on to have a sound mind, although the Lord has given me a sound mind. It's just not as sharp as others, all right? But I know that. But I also know that I need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm faithful in the nursing home ministry. I've always been there. I started out in high school. I started out as a youth working in the county homes and doing all kinds of things for the residents. And I was lost. I didn't know the Lord. Being moral doesn't make you a disciple of Christ. Being religious doesn't make you a disciple of Christ. I went through catechism and never was I fit to be a disciple of Christ through that catechism. I had to be soundly saved, spiritually born again, saved by grace through faith. That is God's gift to me. That is God's gift to anyone who wants to be a disciple of Christ. And so I titled a message, and as you prayed about the 12 disciples, if you'll turn with me to Luke, I titled the message, Apprentices to Journeymen. Apprentices to Journeymen. And of course, I'm very experienced with that. I am a journeyman in the electrical trade, retired. But if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 9, we'll stick with the text at hand. Because it's like Ray said, I got to speak what I've got here for you, the Lord has given me to speak, or I'll be giving you everything else. Here in our text, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And he didn't want them weighted down. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of this of that city. Shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So the message is on following Christ. A follower is a disciple. A follower is an apprentice. A follower doesn't stay in the apprentice mode. It's not in his nature. He wants to be the journeyman. He wants to know that he's been trained and able to do the work of the Lord and cut loose. And I've literally gone through that in the trades as an electrician, a union electrician. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus initially invited the 12 to follow him to be fishers of men. Mark 1:17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You see, I needed this journey where I'm at in the present here with you today. I needed that journey years ago at Camp Maranatha to be the Lord's disciple. And I was faithful. There was a slight disruption here a few years ago at the Worcester Baptist Temple, but that disruption was not meant for me to quit serving the Lord. Jesus was inviting these men to be in his presence as his disciples. And he chose 12 to be apostles. Luke 6:13, it says right here, just a few pages back, this is all introduction, but I just want you to see what's going on here in chapters 9 and 10. Because there were many disciples, he called 70 more. There were many disciples that following him when he called the 12 out to be his apostles. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. He also named them apostles. It's interesting, this journeymen, aren't they? Jesus initially invited these to follow him, to be fishers of men. But Jesus was inviting these men to be in his presence as his disciples. He chose the 12 apostles. He went, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and then he also named them apostles. These men paved the way for every saved believer to follow Christ with the obligation of their own faith and discipleship, namely to make disciples of others. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now notice these last words. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, he's settled that matter. He's already settled that matter to be with you all the way to the end of the world. God works with us to be his disciples. He works with us. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The 12 apostles are the pioneering followers of Christ. Jesus sent them out two by two. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time to come and minister, Lord, at this 10 o'clock hour. It's not just tradition, Lord. But if it was, it would be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a precious tradition. And Lord, you've preserved that for me, and I thank you for it. And Lord, your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we know how while we were preached on the sufficiency of God here, and in the past, Lord, and then that dear pastor, his heart is looking towards the Middle East, Lord, missions there. an institute. And Lord, I just bless him. And his name has slipped my mind, but I can see his face. And I know how precious he was to me when he ministered on the sufficiency of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that ministering, because I've preached that sufficiency, Lord. He rewarded it to my heart, and he told me to study well and preach it. And some do not believe. Some don't have the faith to accept the sufficiency of Christ. Lord, I thank you for that privilege. And I pray that now the ministering of this message on following Christ would allow us to invest in that sufficiency, and that we see you as the Savior. We see you and know you and handle you and hear you, commune with you, pray with you, and love you, Lord. Help us this week to be the disciples of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The obligation to learn from Christ. This is an interesting introduction in this chapter 9. These men were the apprentices of Christ, and then he just commissions them to be his journeymen. And they went all the way. They went all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. They become the pillars of the church and the counselors of the church, of the early church. And they stood with Christ all the way through and preaching the gospel of Christ. They preached the cross. They preached the remission and repentance of sin. They preached that conversion. They stood upon being saved by grace through faith, but they connected it to the cross. They connected it to the resurrection. They didn't let the resurrection drop. You wouldn't believe how many people don't believe in the resurrection, yet they call themselves Christians. They don't believe in the resurrection. And so there is an obligation to learn from Christ, but you have to be saved. The simplest meaning of the disciple of Christ is to be a follower of Christ. That's the simplest meaning. And to be fishers of men is just a clarification of what you're doing to be a follower of Christ. It's a clarification that you're going to make disciples because you are a disciple. You're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. You're going to teach others. These 12 men had a daily readiness to be with Christ and to learn from Christ. Luke 9, 23, it says it like this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's a daily commitment to learn from Christ. I have the privilege of being here, and it is a commitment. I should turn the table and ask, what have you committed your life to in Christ? You know, you really should consider that question. All apprentices I ever worked with did not want to remain apprentice. They wanted to be taught, and they put the energy into it to learn. And I know, because I was right there shoulder to shoulder with them, and it was literally a competition to do your very best, not only to your employer, but to your own self and to the integrity of your own character. They weren't satisfied until they met God. This is the true thing about these 12 men. And one of them was a betrayer, but nonetheless, he was replaced. There was always 12. And so the thing is amazing about that, is that there were many disciples following Christ. He called out the 12 to be apostles, but then it continues to say there are many following Christ. It says so right here in chapter 10. There were 70 more. There were 70 more right in the very beginning. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. You see, the 12 had a daily readiness. Their apprenticeship meant now receiving instruction, such as that from the Sermon on the Mount, Luke 6:20. And he lifted up his eyes and his disciples and said and taught them the blessings and the woes and so forth and so forth and so forth. But they didn't, he didn't stop there, did he? Jesus was really, really busy because there were many disciples following him, it says in Scripture, in the early Scriptures of Mark. There were many, and then he called the 12 out. He singled them out, and he says, hey, would you come? And in that word, in that command to come, he drawed them out with repentance. He moved them with repentance. He didn't, these men were not unfaithful. They were faithful to Christ because they had been converted. They had repented. They were righteous. They were men who saw but followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed Christ. And so that's what it is to be an apprentice to Christ. Their apprenticeship meant now receiving instruction such as that from the Sermon on the Mount. But the perils of the kingdom and that conduct in those parables, Jesus was after a specific conduct. And not everyone could understand the parable. But those that did, mainly those that were faithful to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to instill into them the conduct of being a disciple of Christ. And so he taught them that conduct through those parables. Then Jesus taught them the announcing of the gospel message, Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. You see, they had to learn. They had to be taught. I know this very well because I went through two apprenticeships as an electrician. I started studying to be an electrician in high school. I had the privilege of being taught to be an electrician in high school. I was doing electrical work. I grew up on the farm, and I was doing electrical work in the elevators, the farm elevators, when I was still in high school. I was working with three-phase when I was still in high school. I was working with single-phase when I was still in high school. The only thing I didn't work with, because nobody was really that familiar with it, was low voltage. But lo and behold, by the time I was in my late 40s, I was learning how to be an apprentice to low voltage. Yeah. I know something about being an apprentice in the secular world. But this apprenticeship here is what you want to connect to. Because this apprenticeship here, it's the real deal. And I know something about apprenticeship. And I know something about being a journeyman. I spent 10 years in the UAW as an industrial electrician before they would let me become a journeyman. I spent 10 years, hard knocks, learning everything from motor control to the transformer step up and step down wiring to the low voltage. I went to the Hoover High School with the high school students, and they taught me low voltage because they knew more about PLCs than I did. I didn't know nothing about PLC. I didn't even know what it was. They stuck up my hand, these kids, these youth, and guys like Wyatt and John Mark, they stuck it in my hand. And I said, what's this? And they taught me. They taught me how to handle low voltage from high school students. And from there, I went to college and took college classes and learned college level low voltage. And so then I mushroomed out from that, had two computers on my desk, and I was doing low voltage. So, yeah, it's amazing what you can do with your life if you surrender to Christ. Because the whole time I was learning that, I was saved. You see, I started out serving in the nursing home. I was lost. But when I was learning that low voltage, and this is like my second stint of being a journeyman, I was learning, or being an apprentice, I was to become a journeyman, I was learning, I knew Christ as my personal Savior. I just stick it out there to you. All right. So, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. You're saved here today. You have the obligation to have a daily readiness to learn from Christ. You're his disciple. You see, these men pioneered this discipleship for us. I mean, if you go back into the Gospels, now I started studying this years and years ago. I would sit on the plane traveling, and I would be reading about the 12 disciples. They would have everything on the screens and being entertained in the plane. I didn't care about that, so I wanted to read about the 12 disciples. And I was reading about those 12 disciples, and the Lord brought it back to me. And that's why I'm so excited about preaching this today, because the Lord brought it back to me. And I didn't get this ready specifically for here, but the Lord's impressed on me, go ahead and preach this here, because I got it ready, because they opened up the nursing home to us. I've been fighting with them. I didn't want to be kicked out because of COVID, because I don't get sick. I was there, and I would help them out when they had the flu, and I never got the flu. I would be there helping them. I would help them out. I would feed them. I would take care of them. I would preach to them. And I had people, older people working with me, helping me out with the ministry. Older people that I ended up ministering to when they came into the nursing home. You talk about fascinating. You talk about God bringing home this message of discipleship. Man, he just brought it home, because one of those people was Nellie Quee, and she would say, "Praise God!" every time I would preach and keep on preaching, and those people would be trying to fall asleep, and Nellie was in a wheelchair at the last there, and she would just raise her hand up, "Praise God!" And she would do that again, and they would wake up, and I'd keep on preaching to them. You know what? That's what discipleship, that's the reward of discipleship. I don't even know if I'm going to have time to get to the nitty-gritty of the principles of discipleship here, that in the last of chapter 9 that Christ proposes to the men in the village, that weren't really sincere to be the Lord's disciples, but he wanted his disciples that was with him to hear what it was really like to be totally surrendered to be a disciple of Christ. Do you know what it is to be totally surrendered to be a disciple of Christ? It means this world is not your home. That's what he said. I have no place to pillow my head. The foxes have holes, but I have no place to pillow my head. This world is not my home. The Lord Jesus Christ said that so that his disciples would know. That's the dedication that you have, the commitment that you have to be a disciple of Christ. You find that right there in the closing verses of chapter 9. It is amazing what he said there. He said here, and Jesus, verse 58, and Jesus said unto them, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Paul said that the world was crucified to him through the cross. This world is not your home. That's what it is to be a disciple of Christ. That's the commitment and dedication. And so I'm not the brightest bulb on the planet, and Dan Dahlgren knows. Because we grew up together in this camp. Lem knows me. He's staying with me in the cabin, and we're just privileged to be together, because I used to be his counselor, but I don't need to be his counselor anymore. He's a disciple of Christ, because I wanted him to be a disciple of Christ. You know, he's taken good care of that. So Jesus teaches us to be industrious with his word and work, doesn't he? Do you know that a disciple of Christ in the Gospels is kept and preserved in through the epistles? And by the time we have the complete canon of the scriptures, the book of Revelation, to be a disciple of Christ is accepted practice of the Christian life. You see, it had to be taught in the Gospels. It had to be pioneered. And these 12 men, they did it real well, didn't they? I mean, you can't get tired of reading this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them out to preach the repentance. He sent them out to preach and connect the gospel to the cross. Oh, it was just amazing how these men followed through. And they were called to be his apprentices at first, but then he's literally commissioning them here to be his journeymen. Do you know what it is to be daily prepared, the readiness with Christ, to learn from Christ, and then he just cuts you loose. He just gets a hold of you, and he calls you to a ministry. He calls you to do something faithfully, and he wants you to be committed. And so you pick up your cross daily. So Mark 1:18, and straightway Peter and Andrew, they forsook their nets and followed him, followed Christ to be fishers of men. Mark 1:16-18, they followed Christ, but they didn't do it without being saved. They didn't do it without being called to repentance. They didn't do it without being the righteous men of God. They didn't do it because God didn't want them to be deceived. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to be truly saved and to be true followers of Christ, because they were going to be the examples to us all to be the followers of Christ. You can't be a disciple of Christ without being called to repentance. Mark 2:17, I just want to read that verse to you. I have it written down here, but I want you to see it. Mark 2:17, you have to understand this. You can be deceived. And Jesus didn't want that. He was very clear right from the very beginning. You need to be on my side or you're not my true disciple. You can be in the strength of man, you can be in the strength of religion, and you can be moral, but no, I don't want that. I don't want that. So 2:17 he says it like this. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These men were made whole. Do you know what it's like to be made whole? I mean, I can't imagine how God could take this stinking flesh and make me whole, but he did. He accomplished it, and he just simply spoke it. He used the quickening power that he used on these 12. That quickening power of the Old Testament, he brought it forward to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, it starts out like this. Let me turn to that and read that to you. Amen. These men brought it forward, didn't they? The Lord Jesus Christ brought it forward. Ephesians chapter 2, he brought it forward into the epistles, into these early church ministries. And he says it like this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then you drop down to verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. These men were the Lord's workmanship. They not only could see God, but they handled him, they walked with him, they prayed with him, they learned from him. But we have the same privilege. We have the same privilege. God is invisible, but his word is not. His Holy Spirit is invisible, but his presence in your life is not. He's your guide. He's your teacher. He's your helper. And he's your rebuker. I've been rebuked enough so many times. It's terrible. And it's nothing to be proud of. It's something to be ashamed of. But you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ to be his disciple. And so I'm going to leave off from this thing of being the Lord's disciple. But I would like to just mention some things here as I leave off and get into the second point, the mission of discipleship. These 12 men started out as the Lord's apprentices, but they were true to the conversion. Luke 9, 23 and 24, where I read there, and he said to them all, if any, and he said to them all. Now he's talking about all his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But they were true to the teaching. Luke 9, 18 through 25, we see here, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered, of course, we know the Holy Spirit brought this into Peter's mind and heart, because Jesus says so. And so, beyond the teaching of Christ, but do you know there is a daily discipleship, a daily learning that you, a daily following for you in order for this to be true of you also? And they answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. You're the Messiah. The Messiah. You're the King. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. But he told us, didn't he? They told us, didn't they? They were true to the commission. Luke 24, 44 through 47. I just got to look at that with you. It's a marvelous thing, because they went all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're no longer his apprentices. They're his journeymen. And here's what they did. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's amazing. And they went forward. They became the pillars of the church and the counselors of the church, early church. And they sent out others. The Holy Spirit empowered them to send out others to do the work Jesus was doing. The mission of discipleship. I covered with you what it is to follow Christ. The obligation to learn from Christ. And now I'm covering the mission of discipleship to do the work Jesus was doing. That's what he did. He did for these men. He cut them loose to do the work. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, once said, I used to ask God if he would come and help me. Then I asked God if I might come and help him. But then he got it right. Then I ended up asking God to do his work through me. That is what it is to be a disciple of Christ. But the simplest meaning is to follow Christ. As the hymn writer William O. Cushing wrote in the hymn Follow On, which we just sang because I wanted that saying, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won, follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. An apprentice is someone who is an understudy learning to do the work. A journeyman is someone who has been trained and has the skill to do the work. When they cut me loose, they ended up running me to three job sites because I was making them money. This is for Hilsher Clark. They found out that I was making these other companies money, and I was in the union hall, and they brought me back to the union hall and says, Hilsher Clark has put the muscle on you to be with them, and so you've got to go to them. They literally yanked me out of my other employer and put me with another employer, another contractor, Hilsher Clark. And they were like $60 million a year in profits. And so they had the muscle. They said, we want this guy. And I ended up running three job sites and making them money. And that's what it is like to be successful as a journeyman in the trades. But the most successful thing that you can do is walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and making disciples of men. You're a disciple making disciples of men. That's your commission, until the crown be won. And so a journeyman is someone who has been trained and has the skills to do the work. These men were cut loose. The mission of discipleship doesn't save you. It doesn't procure forgiveness of sin. And if you don't believe me, just read Romans chapter 6. 1 through 5 and verses 17 and 18, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then if you don't believe that, just go to Colossians chapter 3:1. There you're being cut loose again. You're just literally being cut loose again and again in these epistles. And these early churches knew what it was to be the disciple of Christ. They stood by faith. They had that testimony. These men in our text made the cut. They just literally made the cut. So he sent them out. He sent them out. And so you can enjoy the fact that you can be a disciple of Christ. Luke chapter 10, he sent them out two by two. They had learned to preach the gospel of Christ. They were actively doing the work. They went out and returned and gave a report. Do you think that you're as a journeyman, you're going to get away with not giving a report? No. In the trades, they track you like a hawk. You're going to give a report whether you like it or not. But here, you have the privilege of free grace. You have the privilege to be a child of God. You have the right to give a report, an honest report, to the truth. And that is mainly reporting what you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ and backing it up with Scripture and being not rebuked by the Holy Spirit because you messed up or did something wrong. But in the end, the Lord got you refined to be that precious gold, that precious jewel, to know whom you have served and where we're not ashamed. Luke 9, verses 20 through and 26. Look at this. You're not ashamed. Look. And beyond verse 24, for what is a man advantaged, if verse 25, if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. You see, there is a mission of discipleship. This last point, the compulsion to follow Christ. They were compulsive. But who put the fire in them? Who put the fire in? The compulsion to follow Christ. It's your voluntary desire because you know whom you serve. You see, he doesn't whip you. He saves you. And then he invites you. He He invites you. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I can't quite remember it, but I'll look at it for you. 11. I know you guys can quote it right off the bat here. Let me get this for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Isn't that interesting? For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that? That's the compulsion that you receive. That's the direction you receive. That's the integrity of being saved, and also to be an apprentice and to be a follower, to be a sheep, to be an apprentice, a journeyman. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's up to you to keep your circle of discipleship small or great. I mean, I've tried to expand my circle, and the Lord was with me every step of expanding that circle of service, that circle of journey, of being a journeyman to Christ. He cut me loose, and I expanded this my compulsion to follow Christ. And it was up to me to pray and to ask the Lord to follow through with what I was doing for him. I can remember that they came to my house, and they said, there's someone in Suriname, South America, right there at the top of the Caribbean, that need someone to come, and they couldn't get a missionary to come, a Baptist missionary to come. And I even had a Baptist missionary follow up on me. He made his flight from, can't think of it. He made his flight from where he was ministering among those people, and got a temporary visa in Florida and came down and made sure I was okay. And I wasn't getting in trouble because I was not a missionary. But they came to my house and asked me to help out with this, and I prayed about it, and I agreed that I would. And the church raised the money and sent me, and I went and I expanded. I literally expanded my circle to serve Christ and got my feet wet, helping to plant a church in a native pastor for a native pastor there. And helping him out with it, and I was getting ready to expand my circle some more and go to the interior, and because this is working out really well for me to do this, and I was just excited to do this, and I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to expand that circle, and I wanted to deny myself. I wanted to go, but my health didn't hold up, and so I was kept from even going back. My health really went south. And so the Lord did help me expand my circle. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's up to you to keep your circle of discipleship smaller or enlarge it to where your following Christ is more intense and more involved. But the Lord will reward that, or the Lord will guide that. He said, I will never leave you. He'll be right there with you. And he let me go as far as I could go. But my health put an end to that. These men were no longer apprentices, but journeymen following Christ. You won't find these terms in the Bible. I just simply adapted it to the text. Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. It says here in Colossians 3:22, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The emphasis of following Christ as his disciple and to be involved in his discipleship does become increasingly more intense and makes application to the servant of Jesus Christ. Colossians 4:17, I find this very interesting. You see, when we were being preached the sufficiency of Christ, I found this verse, Colossians 4:17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I count it a privilege to be a disciple of Christ. Let's ask the Lord to bless the remainder of our meetings today. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time to just to minister and to be a part of this once again. And oh Lord, if I have fallen short to be your disciple, you have mended that. You have kept me at your side. You've kept me to know your glory. And Lord, someday I'll stand before you and I'll see you face to face. And Lord, I count it a privilege to see you now. And I thank you for using me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.